You're listening to the podcast, Send Me. Here with you now is host, Jason Sweet.
What's the count, team leader?
What's the count?
Down!
Keep going!
Hold it.
Try it! Keep going! Yeah.
Brought to you by SOCOM Athlete. Send Me. Send Me.
Happy 4th of July weekend as we celebrate Independence Day, living in the freest country in the world. This is your host, Jason. Thank you for listening to SOCOM Athlete's podcast, Send Me. Today, we are joined by SOCOM Athlete nutritionist, dietitian, and pro bodybuilder, Miss Courtney Reeves. Get your notes ready because we're going to be talking about everything from macronutrients, that being protein, carbohydrates, and fat, to supplements, to caffeine, pre-workouts, and fueling your body for the fight prior to a fitness test or a day in special operations selection. As you know, as our listeners, this program is entirely revolving around getting young individuals ready for the special operations pipeline and seeing them graduate. In just the past 2 weeks, I've received a phone call from three of our former students that are now Army Rangers. Had the honor of watching two of them graduate and traveling up there to Fort Benning, Georgia. We've had a student graduate the TAC-P pipeline, earn his Black Beret. One student graduate Special Forces Assessment Selection Course and get selected to move on to the Q course. One student graduated Navy EOD. And lastly, three former SOCOM athlete students all graduated ANS Assessment and Selection, the Air Force's Selection Course for Pararescue, Combat Control, and Special Reconnaissance. All three of them graduated together in the same class and will move on to greater things. Congratulations to all of you. We also have two students at Navy SEAL Buds right now. They will start Hell Week within the next couple weeks. We'll keep you informed on how they do. Another shout out to Sam for coming out from the Navy SEAL Buds prep course this past weekend in Chicago for our Hell Day and being a huge asset as a mentor and instructor. Huge shout out to Chief Super Sanchez for coming all the way out from Kansas, as well as Instructor T, who, as many of you know, has been a huge asset to this program and an incredible mentor since day one. This coming weekend, July 9th through 11th, Chief Super Sanchez and I will be going together up to New Jersey to host the New Jersey Hell Day, our first time traveling to the state for a Hell Day, and we're truly excited to mentor and instruct the next generation of special operators up in the Northeast. So without further ado, let's bring on Courtney Reeves. Courtney, thank you for coming on the podcast. What's going on?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's great working with you guys. The SOCOM athlete individuals are honestly the favorite athletes I've worked with just because of your guys' dedication and stuff. So I absolutely love it. And I'm very honored to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Courtney. We're honored to have you. Are you talking to us from Utah?
I am. Yes, I'm in Utah.
Awesome. Awesome. Our Utah group is up and coming. One of our strongest groups in the country. We'll have to get you out there sometime to work with them, Courtney.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. Next time you guys are doing something, let me know.
So Courtney, I wanted to talk about a few things. So first of all, is we've talked about once these guys get into the pipeline, they're not going to be authorized to take supplements such as joint supplements or even supplemental protein, sometimes pre-workouts, amino acids, things like that. It's off limits when they're in the pipeline, right? So when we talk nutrition, we're talking about preparation now. We're talking about pre-assessment, pre-selection nutrition, right? So obviously things are going to be different in the pipeline. You may not be given much food at all. You may be given a ton of food depending on the school that you're in. If you're in a school like SEER, you're only going to be given a small amount of food because you're in a survival situation. If you're at Air Force Assessment and Selection, you're given 3 MREs a day. If you're at a course like BUDS or Special Warfare Prep Course, you're given plenty of meals. You can eat as much as you want. So it really depends on what part of the pipeline that they're in, depending on what type of nutrition they are going to receive. But speaking of right now, when they have the option to eat whatever they want, whenever they want, go and shop for their own food, meal prep, et cetera, there's really no excuse for them to not be taking full advantage of this. So Courtney, I wanted to just ask you a couple questions and get a little discussion going about properly fueling the body. So almost all of these students right now are trying to pass an entry fitness test, right? So if it's Navy, it's the PST. If it's Army or Marine Corps, it's the PFT. If it's the Air Force, it is the PASS test. And these tests involve usually 1.5-mile run or a 2-mile run, 500-meter swim, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups for time. So Corny, let's say that we are about to do a fitness test to secure our special operations contract the next day. What kind of meal are we looking at eating the night before?
So the night before, or more specifically the day before, I recommend carb loading. Your body's energy is provided from carbohydrates. So I always recommend increasing your carbohydrate intake by about 100 grams of carbs the day before. Different people can get those from different sources. I recommend clean sources like rice, potatoes, things like that, that are actually going to fuel you and sustain you for the next day. But yeah, about 100 grams of carbs increased from your normal intake spread out throughout the day is my recommendation.
And so the typical carb range that you and I are going with, Courtney, is 1.5 to 1.8 grams of carbohydrates per pound of body weight, sometimes higher. So for a 200-pound athlete, you're looking at 300-plus grams of carbohydrates, maybe 350 to 360. So you're saying that we go ahead and add another 80 to 100 grams of carbohydrates on top of that. So now we're up in almost the 400 range at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I recommend kind of splitting it out throughout the day, just because if you're trying to get 100 grams of carbs intake extra and you save that all for the end of the day, you're going to feel way too bloated, way too full, and you're not going to get all of that in. Where if you split it up, 20 gram increase per meal throughout the day, it doesn't seem like anything, but it really fuels your body and gives you that extra boost and endurance for the next day.
And Courtney, talking carbs, especially feeling a little bit too full or bloated, generally the carbs that we find at a typical grocery store or at a typical meal are usually flour-based, right? And flour, Courtney, is not too good for muscle growth, is it?
No, there's been a lot of studies on gluten and inflammation and how that disrupts your entire body's functioning, especially for athletic endeavors.
Right. And I remember, I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger actually referred to flour as the white death because of the catabolic response that it has. So you're not in this anabolic state quite as much once flour hits, spikes the insulin levels, which increase the sugar, right? And then you're slowing muscle growth. So for our listeners out there, we're not saying that you should completely stay away from flour, but definitely work on finding sources of carbohydrates that aren't flour heavy. And a few of those that come to mind, and I'm sure Courtney has some as well, would be sweet potatoes, as well as something like veggie pasta, Ezekiel bread, for example. You find Ezekiel bread, it's actually frozen bread. And when you pick it up, it says right there on the label, flourless bread. You got any other ones there, Courtney?
I really like quinoa as well. It has all of your essential amino acids, as well as being a heavy carb source. Rice is another great one.
And speaking of that, Courtney, like we're kind of trained to think that brown is a little bit healthier than white rice, or wheat bread is healthier than white bread. Would it be safe to say that they're equally as unhealthy, but one of them has added whole grains in it, so it has a little bit of healthier stuff to it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, your brown rice and your whole grains are going to have your added minerals that will help support your body more.
So it wouldn't necessarily be unhealthier to eat white bread or white rice?
There's an inflammation response, in my opinion, to like white bread. It's just more processed and things like that. So I'm not a big fan of like white bread as I am of like whole grain.
Right. And Courtney, when it comes to recovery and putting things in your body that can help you recover faster, which is huge for these guys, what are your recommendations on that?
So immediately post-workout, I actually recommend a small amount of simple carbohydrates. So simple carbohydrates are quick digesting, and they get the nutrients to your muscle very quickly, so your body doesn't start cannibalizing itself. Immediately post-workout, I recommend like a serving of fruit, and a serving being like a banana, an apple, one, not like 10, like some people can just go too far. And then after that, getting in your whey protein, which is also fast digesting. And then about 2 hours after that, getting in a normal meal with your protein and a complex carbohydrate.
Excellent. Thank you, Courtney. We've got a bunch of questions rolling in here, so we're going to go ahead and start getting them going. First question, looks like we got one from Max. Max, whenever you're ready, you can go ahead and come off mute and ask your question, my man.
All right, sweet. So I know this is about to come off a bit in a bit like of a smart aleck way, but I have been told by some older people in the military that beer is a good way to carbo load. I'm not saying like alcoholic beer or non-alcoholic, because I understand there's a lot of underage people in this chat, but you know, what are your thoughts on that? Is that an effective way to carbo load before a ruck or a pass test?
No. Alcohol has been, it's a toxin, right? It's a toxin in your body. There's a reason why when you get drunk and you over consume it, your body rejects it and it starts throwing up. There is a reason why your body does not like alcohol. So it's not going to be good. And a lot of beer is also wheat based, right? That's my opinion on that. In the fitness world, as far as like bodybuilding, I have heard like wine or a shot of alcohol as a vascularity type thing, because it opens up your blood vessels and gets you really vascular. But as far as performance wise, it's not going to do anything for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Max, it's a great question. It was probably somebody who loves alcohol or is an alcoholic or borderline alcoholic that told you that because they're trying to justify that drinking beer is okay. If you're of age and you know you're PTing hard, you're swimming, you're doing calisthenics, you're running every single day and you're just crushing it, and you want to crack open a cold beer at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt you by any means. But to think that would be your ideal choice to carb load before a performance day, definitely not, my man. But great question. Fun question.
Thank you so much. All right.
Yes, sir. Okay, next question. We got Dax. What's going on, Dax?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for coming to this today. Sorry if I sound a little weird. I'm a little under the weather. I was curious about eating the day of a significant event, like a PT test, for instance, depending on when it is in the day, what I should be consuming prior to that in terms of macronutrients and food in general.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we already talked about, you know, the day prior to a PT test, carb loading, and then the day of, if it's way into the afternoon that you're going to have your testing, I would continue to carb load. So continue to do an extra like 20 grams of carbs per meal from what you normally eat up to your testing. And then if your testing is first thing in the morning, some people don't do overly well with having food in their stomach. They start feeling lethargic, like they need to throw up. And that is, again, why the day before carb loading yourself should help you sustain if your PT test is first thing in the morning and you need to go into that kind of fasted.
Great. Thank you.
Great question, Dax. All right, let's go on to our next question. Looks like we got Etienne. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Ask your question, bud. What's going on, Etienne? How you doing, bud?
Doing good, man. On the way back home right now from San Diego.
Back to Tucson?
Yuma.
Yuma. Nice, man. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to ask, what is the safest amount of calories to eat if you're trying to cut, like, the most amount of weight as possible, if you're trying to meet deadlines and stuff like that? Like, what would you say would be the safest way to cut a lot of weight? Because I've been taking around 1,800 to 2,000. I just wanted to ask if I go any lower than that.
Yeah, that is a hard question, just because nutrition is so specific to each person. And so if you're on 1,800 now, or 1,800 to 2,000, kind of what was your normal before that? Where did you start and where did you maintain your weight?
So I was eating around 2,500 and I was losing, you know, weight consistently, but it just wasn't what I was trying to lose. So once I lowered it, I lost drastic amounts of weight really quick. But my recruiter was telling me that that's not safe. The amount of weight that I was losing in that time period was not safe.
For sure. And that's kind of what I was going to go with, is it's not sustainable, right? You're cutting so many calories that your body is going to go into a survival mode. And when you actually try to start doing like athletic endeavors, you're going to start feeling super lethargic, super lightheaded, because your food and your body is not sustaining the amount of work that you're doing. And okay. So I am a big believer in a slow cut, and I understand sometimes that doesn't, like you said, work with deadlines. So I'm a believer in slow cuts, about 200 calories decrease per day, and kind of like work your way down. So yeah, like you're saying, start at 2,500, then go to 2,300 and kind of work your way down as you go. For making super big deadlines for that, man,
there's nothing that you can really do about it.
Yeah, you're gonna run that edge of not being healthy, right? And
of course,
depending upon if you're trying to test the next day, you're running the risk of cutting way too much calories that you're gonna not have any strength when you go to test. So this is why, you know, planning ahead with your nutrition and getting, you know, a 6 month goal. Hey, I'm going to try to do my testing in 6 months, and I need to get my nutrition in order, my workouts in order, everything in order, so that I can go into this as healthy as possible. Last minute cuts are they're just hard, and they can be super dangerous, guys.
Etienne, the mathematical formula for burning calories, right, and how many you're going to have in excess is calorie intake versus calories burned. And so if you're struggling intaking too many calories versus how much your body is burning, then maybe let's focus on not necessarily taking in less calories. Let's focus on burning more calories, shall we? So
of course, adding
something new to your routine. So if your body is already maxed out, okay, like you've already been running twice a day, three times a week, you're running once a day, the other three or four days a week, and you're weightlifting, and let's say you can't really give it anymore. Well, then you need to be able to get in the pool, all right, and find some type of alternate way to exercise. Maybe it's a hike or something like that. But you know, at SOCOM Athlete, we're big on getting in the pool, moving around, treading water, thinning, swimming, sprinting interval distances, as well as evaluation distances. All those kinds of things that are going to help you bring your game up a little bit. Eating cleaner. Awesome. Yeah, eating cleaner as well, bud. And I know you don't really like sugars, but just really watching the sugar intake as well.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, guys.
And Courtney, can you talk a little bit about the SOCOM Athlete students that come to you that purchase our meal plan? What do you usually see as far as students that come to you overweight? What are some of their common mistakes, and how do you typically fix that?
Yeah, so this is not necessarily specific to overweight athletes, but figuring out proper nutrient timing is a big one. Some athletes are eating two meals a day, and they're not making those meals anywhere around their workout. So they're just, their body's cannibalizing themselves. So they're not achieving their goals of weight loss, even though they're in a huge calorie deficit. The other one, like we just talked about, was figuring out how much of a calorie deficit, right? We want to be in a deficit enough that we're making progress, but not so much that our training deteriorates incredibly and we start feeling weak, lethargic, all of these different things. You're going to be hungry. When you're losing weight, you're going to be hungry, but you should not feel, it should feel sustainable. It should feel like a hunger that's sustainable. Another big one is scheduling. So when I get a consultation from someone, I ask them, what does your daily life look like? And because of that, okay, if you're someone that starts work at 4 a.m, we need to figure out what schedule and how to time all of your meals and your workouts that works for you. And so I really dig deep into each individual's schedule and try to see any obstacles that they're going to run into so that they do not fall off plan.
Thank you, Courtney. Okay, guys, next question. let's go ahead and go with Kyle Lanterman coming to the Chicago Hell Day this weekend. Finally get to meet you in person. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Jason? Hey, Courtney. I'm actually coming to you from North Salt Lake, so we might be neighbors, Courtney. But
nice.
My question is about spinach, and if it was a simple carb or not.
No, spinach would be a complex carbohydrate. It's so low carb that I mean, it's a filler food. That is a food. It is very nutrient dense, but as far as actually getting like carbohydrate value, there's so little like carb value to it that I wouldn't really place it in a huge carb category, honestly.
Kyle,
okay.
At the Friday development course, we take you to a grocery store and we walk you through the produce aisle, the meats, supplements, vitamins, etc. And we actually focus on spinach when we go to the veggie section, because if you pick up a typical box of spinach and you turn it around and you look at the serving size is usually one. So you have to eat this entire box of spinach just to get one serving, right? And in that one serving is usually anywhere between like 1 and 3 grams of carbohydrates. So, I mean, you'll be sitting there eating almost an entire meal's worth of spinach and getting no carbs out of it. Okay. Maybe 1 gram of protein, 0 grams of fat. So when it comes to your macros and caloric intake, you're not really getting a whole lot out of spinach, but spinach is full of fiber, right? It's got great nutrients. And so if you're low on veggies, then you can definitely throw the spinach into your protein shake. If you do blenders, if you have a vanilla or chocolate-based protein flavor, it completely drowns out the flavor of the spinach. So I see a lot of people that don't really like veggies that want to get them in there. They'll throw it in their blender. So I hope that answers your question. You know, the paleo diet was a popular diet for a while. I tried it when I was in Afghanistan with a few of my PJ teammates in 2012, and a bunch of us lost muscle. We lost a lot of body fat, like probably like 2 or 3%, some of us, but we lost muscle, and it was really hard to keep it on because it starves you of carbohydrates. Because besides carrots and like Brussels sprouts and maybe even broccoli, it's really hard to get carbohydrates from veggies. And even broccoli, you know, you get that the carbs from the stems and your body doesn't really digest the stems. So when it comes to choosing veggies, carrots are great. Spinach is great. Don't get me wrong, but you're not going to get a whole lot of carbs from that.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Thank you so much to you both.
Absolutely, Kyle. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend, bud. Have a safe trip from Utah.
All righty.
All right. Next question. Let's go ahead and go with Cody.
Hey, what's going on, Jason? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. What's going on, Cody?
Not much, sir. Also, I just wanted to say thank you, Jordan Robinson. He helps me a lot with some of the stuff.
Oh, my man. That's at Navy EOD school?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, man. Jordan and I just got a workout in the other day. These guys come on down to Eglin for a while that are in that EOD pipeline. So I'm glad you got to talk with him, Cody.
Yeah, we talk pretty often, actually.
Good, man. Good. What's your question, brother?
So I wanted to know, so I kind of had two, basically, Courtney. So I have a problem with, muscle gain. And I noticed after talking to one of our instructors, muscle mass is one of the main factors in why guys sink so fast. And I noticed that during treading, some of our guys on the heavier side, they tread a lot better than me. They swim a lot better than me, but a lot of our guys with more muscle mass tend to sink.
Before Courtney interjects on that, to tell you, there are a few other factors to buoyancy. All right. More body fat equals more buoyancy. All right. So that's why you're seeing your big dudes float. However, bone density also factors in. Okay. How heavy are your bones? God designs everyone's body a little bit different. And those of us that have a little bit higher bone density to support higher muscle mass are going to sink a little bit more, right? More muscle mass is going to cause you to sink a little bit more, right? So those three factors all together are very important. And not only that, it's actually your muscle mass composition too. The fast twitch to slow twitch muscle fiber ratio has a big factor as well. Back to you, Courtney.
Yeah. So to add on to that, it was very interesting actually for me to go to an event with Jason and see exactly what you're talking about firsthand. There was, Jason had these athletes go through a series of obstacles, and this one athlete was just crushing it, and he had a ton of muscle mass on all of the land activities, and then got in the water and really struggled. So it was really interesting for me to see that firsthand in that experience. And so I talked with Jason after that about what is your ideal body fat percentage for your athletes. And we determined that about that 14 to 16% range was really the optimal range for athletes to be in. Much leaner than that. And like I talked about, you're starting to sink, and much heavier than that. And other activities, you're just not having enough muscle mass and you're carrying too much fat. So that's what I would say is the 14 to 16% muscle mass range is kind of what I would recommend trying to get your body to. Also having a little bit higher fat when you go into your field will help, depending upon, like Jason said, how much food you're fed. Your body has a little bit more body fat to work with. So that's what I would recommend, 14 to 16%. It's not about being the leanest, most shredded person there.
So the more protein I take in, that is doing what? Increasing my muscle mass, correct?
Yes. You need to look at your entire nutrition as a whole. I wouldn't focus too much on protein specifically. Are you trying to lose weight or gain weight?
I'm trying to lose weight. Like my run times are pretty good. It's just, I feel like everything's good. My test scores are good, but my instructor, he was like, you know, you should try and focus on losing more muscle mass so you do better in the water. But I was like, how do I do that?
To decrease muscle mass, okay, and kind of transform massy type of muscle to more lean, ripped muscle. Courtney can touch on this a lot because she is a pro bodybuilder. But you're going to want to switch up how you lift to higher repetitions, lower weight, man. I mean, it may sound simple, but it's very important. Higher repetitions, lower weight, period. And that's going to transform your muscle. And Courtney brought up the 14 to 16% body fat. I was a 12% guy going through the pipeline. Some of y'all who are going to go through amphibious type of training, so recon marine, combat control, special reconnaissance, pararescue, Navy SEAL, all this training involves water. And so 6 months out of the year, the water is pretty darn cold. I mean, maybe even 8 months out of the year, water is fairly cold. So having that extra body fat as insulation is pivotal. I mean, even at 12% body fat, I would get freezing sometimes, you know. And your body, obviously your mind is going to be tougher than your body. So you may be sitting there shivering and you're okay, you're training, but you look down and your body's shivering because it just can't hang with the environment. So it is not necessarily a negative thing to go into the pipeline at 14 to 16% body fat, like what Courtney is saying, as long as it's comfortable for you.
And also, how important is sleep? I don't get much sleep and I can't really figure out why. Like I can go to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning, wake up at 6, and I'm perfectly fine. But I'm starting to hear that that's not healthy. And so I have this watch which actually tracks my sleep. And I don't know if you know what it means, but I'm getting 40 minutes of deep sleep, 4 hours and 16 minutes of light sleep, 40 minutes of REM, and then I spent 17 minutes awake throughout the night.
It's incredibly important. So you're saying you're getting about 5 hours of sleep a night?
Exactly.
I would say that 5 to 7 hours is still sustainable, depending upon how conditioned your body is to that and how conditioned you are to that. There's other people that their work schedule, they're like a 24-hour on type of people where they'll have a night where they sleep like 1 or 2 hours. In those types of situations, yeah, your body really goes through havoc trying to get back into a routine again, and it throws off all of your like hunger signals and things like that. But if you're consistently getting 5+ hours of sleep per night, and you feel pretty good about there, I'm not overly worried about 5 hours of sleep, honestly.
Okay.
All right, Cody, great questions. And to sum it up, as far as the protein goes, we're usually looking at about 1.1 to 1.5 grams of protein per pound of body weight, okay, for 150 to 180 pounder. Now, if you're up over 200 pounds, that may be a lot of protein to intake, so you may have to make those adjustments. But I can't stress enough how important it is to take that liquid protein right after your workout while you still have your pump. Make sure you're looking for proteins that have less carbs in them, okay? Look for isolates. Proteins like muscle milk and whatnot, those have 27, 30 grams of carbohydrates in it. So you're going to want to be looking for a low-carb protein. Let's go ahead and go with our next question. Looks like we got Christian. Go ahead and come off your mic and ask your question. Christian, how you been, man?
I've been great. Been great. Training hard and eating a lot, sleeping not enough. Same as same problem a lot of us have, but great otherwise.
Right on, Christian. What's your question, bud?
Thanks for having us on and doing this. Quick question on supplementation, and it could be through actual supplements or just certain things we should be really keying in on our diet in general. But, you know, we're going through strenuous training, you know, multiple times a day for multiple hours in a lot of cases. As you mentioned earlier, Jason, you know, we're not going to be able to take supplements and bring things with us to our pipelines, at least not in the earlier stages. Are there certain, you know, things we should be putting in our bodies now that are going to really help with injury prevention and just keeping that longevity, you know, through the months and years of our pipelines, you know, when we're constantly under load and constantly expending ourselves? Again, it could be, you know, actual supplements or just through our diet. What should we be doing to stay healthy?
Yeah, I know Jason is the supplement guru for all things for you SOCOM athlete individuals. For me, on the nutrition side, omegas are a big one, fish oil omegas, or if you're vegan, any other source of omegas. A good multivitamin, making sure non-supplement-wise, making sure that you're eating like organic-type foods, organic type vegetables, things like that, that actually have the nutrients that you're looking for. Non-organic, a lot of them are actually nutrient deprived, as bad as that is, just because of the soil. And that's a whole nother tangent. But multivitamin and your omega fish oils are kind of my two that I would not ever get away from. Until obviously you cannot.
I have one comment on that, Christian. Let's pretend like on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as 10 being the best possible shape that you could be in before you went into special operations selection. Okay. A scale of 1 to 10. Let's say that the pass test for the Air Force or PST for the Navy, PFT for the Army, Marine Corps, let's say that that requires a level six. Okay. A level six. The idea is to train your body up to a level nine, a level 10. So that when you get into the military and you are constantly getting broken down in selection and you're constantly being deprived of water, food, sleep, et cetera, because you're at that level 10, you can afford to have your performance knocked down. So again, you won't have the supplements in the pipeline. You won't be able to take branched chain amino acids or omega-3s in the pipeline. You're just going to have to grit it out through pure toughness and resiliency. So it's all about getting your body in the most optimum shape now. And if we're going to get our body in the most optimum shape now, we're probably going to deal with symptoms of overuse, right? So if we're dealing with symptoms of overuse, now we're focused on recovery. So what's going to help us with recovery? I don't want to sit here and give you guys five or six different supplements to take. I'll give you guys one to focus on that really helped me personally, and that's glutamine. Glutamine. It's one of the naturally occurring amino acids. You can't take too much of it. It's cheap. They have it in powdered form, pill form. There's no side effects to it, and it helps with recovery significantly. Okay. Glutamine was a big game changer for me. Those of you guys that are putting on weight really fast, joint supplements, I teach those at the course for kind of a teaching point on nutritional facts, but glucosamine chondroitin MSM as a cocktail usually helps people's knees, their ankles, their elbows, et cetera, if they're lifting a lot of weights and their body's not used to that. So maybe some of you skinnier guys that are trying to put on 15, 20 pounds of muscle and your joints aren't having it, okay? It's all about the injury prevention so that you can get in that optimum level of shape. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Next question. Let's go ahead and go with Elijah.
How's it going? And I wanted to say thank you for having this meeting tonight. I guess the question I have is, in regards to when you are working or if you are just out and about, and if you don't have time or if you don't have like the access to just like a microwave, if you are not wanting to eat just pretty much just like cold food all the time, what are some, I guess, alternatives for just like your 3 to 4 just kind of meals throughout the day if you're working a longer shift where you don't have any access to that stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but first off, I always recommend, you know, meal prepping and bringing your food with you. But in situations where that is not available, there are a lot of fast casual type restaurants, your Chipotle's. Here in Utah, we have like Cafe Rio's, things like that, that you can tell that the food is not, it's not fast food. It's made right there. It has balanced carbohydrates to protein content. I know Chipotle is a nationwide brand or chain. So that's a really good one. Breakfast wise, there's a lot of places that serve oatmeals that you can get, like oatmeals with eggs. Those are a great breakfast source. Starbucks has oatmeal. McDonald's is not the best choice, but they do have an oatmeal and just a plain egg option, things like that. But mainly look for your fast casual type restaurants that you can tell that the food is made there. It's fresh. It's not sitting in a bag that they throw in a microwave and put a bunch of chemicals in to stay shelf stable behind the door, right?
Yeah, that's a great answer, Courtney. And Elijah is a guy who's constantly on the go myself. I want to tell you that if it comes down to eating versus, okay, eating something that's unhealthy versus not eating at all as an athlete, you got to eat. Okay. So it's eat. All right. If you have the decision. So let's talk about some places where you can get some stuff on the go. Any gas station these days is going to have what's called P3 protein snacks. Okay. And they have like nuts, little cubes of ham or turkey, and then little cubes of cheese. Those are called your P3, like portable protein or something like that. They're really popular. As far as gas station stuff as well, you can get those little Tiger's Milk protein bars in there. A lot of them also sell the Naked protein shakes. All gas stations sell nuts as well. Almonds and pistachios, if you could, cashews, nuts like that whenever you get to the gas station. Chick-fil-A has something called an egg white grill for breakfast. They serve it till like 10:30. All right. It's egg whites, grilled chicken, cheese. Starbucks, like Courtney said, also has breakfast sandwiches, and they're not bad as well, but they probably have some preservatives like what Courtney's talking about. But again, if it comes down to eating versus not eating, you got to eat. Okay. Bananas. Like a lot of places have bananas, have fruit. Also, if you go into a place like Publix or Harris Teeter, Winn-Dixie, Walmart, all of these grocery stores will have like pre-made sandwiches and all kinds of pre-made food. So you can go in and grab and go if you don't have time to meal prep. But like Courtney said, if you have the option, meal prepping is a complete game changer. Last thing I have here is smoked salmon. All right. Smoked salmon is awesome. It does need to be refrigerated, but it's a great snack. Okay. Tons of salt, tons of protein, tons of omega-3s. It's very lean and it's already made and cooked up for you. So I hope that helps.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Elijah, you coming to Chicago?
Yes, I will be flying out with all of the guys this Thursday.
Awesome. Looking forward to meeting you and crushing it, bud.
Yes, sir. I'm excited to work out with you.
You look nervous, Elijah. I'm just playing, bud. All right. Next question.
Yeah. So I joined late when you were talking about the post meal recovery, like what you want to eat directly after a workout. So I was wondering if you could break that down for me, like right after what you wanted to eat, and then as far as a meal goes after your workout.
Yeah. I'll kind of reiterate that really quick. I'm a fan of one serving of fruit, not a lot, because it has that simple carbohydrates. And then like your whey protein, both of those fuel your muscles and prevent or help with recovery. And then a couple hours later, have your normal complex carbohydrate with a normal protein again.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When she says complex carbohydrates, do you understand what she means by that?
No, could you explain it more?
Yeah, so complex carbohydrates, they break down slower, so they fuel your body longer. Examples of those are rice, potatoes, quinoa, things like that, that help fuel your body and sustain it for longer, where simple carbohydrates, which fruit is an example of a simple carbohydrate, it's going to give you that immediate carb spike, but your body's going to crash relatively quickly. It's not going to sustain for very long. So it's good for, you know, that quick satisfaction, just like a whey protein is, where it gets in your muscle quickly, but it's not going to sustain you for multiple hours.
And make sure to get in that protein shake immediately after the workout. If not, start sipping on it during your cool down, if you do have a cool down in your workout, because that liquid protein is going to get digested very quickly. It's loaded with branched chain amino acids as well, so it's going to help you recover up to 30% faster. So make sure you get in that protein, my man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question. Let's go ahead and go with Max.
To me, it doesn't make much sense that people, you know, like drink a Red Bull and then go for a run, right? Because you're spiking your heart rate even higher than it would be. Is that like good for long-term cardiovascular health, or is that detrimental?
Jason and I have talked about this a couple of times. We are both not big proponents of caffeine. We believe, hey, you need to have your own energy and way to get through your workout. You should not be dependent upon caffeine to spike your heart rate, get you motivated, get you going. Again, when you're actually in your field and through your testing and whatever, you're not going to have, oh, I need to grab a coffee before I go work out, right? You need to figure out a way to sustain yourself and motivate yourself and get yourself going naturally.
Also, one of the problems with caffeine is that it's a vasoconstrictor. All right. Vasoconstrictors increase systolic blood pressure, increase heart rate, and they cause blood to shun from your extremities to your core. So if blood's shunting from your extremities to your core, okay, your fingers, your toes, et cetera, what happens then if we're in a cold environment in the water? Well, we get a lot colder. So that's another bad part about caffeine is simple temperature regulation. Okay. I love caffeine. All right. But my job is not to get ready for an elite warfighting job anymore. My job is to run this operation. So caffeine for me is a mental stimulant to get myself mentally ready to go, alert, in a more of a positive mood. If you guys can't get excited about training for combat and becoming a SEAL or a PJ or a Ranger, I mean, what else can get you excited? All right. Do your best to lose the caffeine or just discipline it a little bit more to where it's a reward on the weekends or something like that. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Awesome. Yep.
And to add on this comment about it being a vasorestrictor, for example, in protein powder and pre-workouts, you'll notice they have a caffeine portion to them, and they also have a pump portion to them. And both of those are because of the fact that caffeine vasorestricts. They need to have a way to then open back up those blood vessels and get those blood vessels pumping blood again. So for each amount of caffeine that they have to have a pump matrix that opens your blood vessels back up again. So yeah, you have to combat caffeine in a lot of different ways for working out.
Those are vasodilators that Courtney's talking about. Like nitric oxide is one of those, like the old NO Explode was the OG pre-workout, and it had creatine, caffeine, nitric oxide, and then it had the flavoring, obviously. And the problem with it is that it was all blended in there. So one scoop, you don't know how much caffeine, nitric oxide, creatine, and flavoring you're getting. You're just getting a random amount. So over time, pre-workouts have evolved to where you have more of a pure blend, but that is of concern as well when looking at pre-workouts, Max.
Okay. So just to sum it up, stay away from caffeine, pre-workouts, and anything that would spike your heart rate up and, you know, vasorestrict you before you go and swim in cold water or just like run. Yeah. All right.
You got it, Max. You're tracking, bud. Next question. Let's go ahead and go with my man, Cordell.
Hi. So I had a question about diminishing returns in food. So if I were to eat the same meal every day, would I eventually stop absorbing the nutrients out of that meal? And it would, like, I'd have to change it up in order for it to, you know, continue to work for me? Or is that not a thing?
Coming from the bodybuilding world, where you were on a meal plan for, 8-9 months out of the year, and you're eating the same 8-9 meals, and those people are very, very athletic and everything, as you can tell from the results, they are definitely absorbing all of their nutrients. So I would say that is false.
It's a really good question, Cordell. I see the kind of the mindset behind it. Perhaps you're looking at it as the body builds tolerances to substances, right? So that's typically more of like medications, drugs, pharmaceuticals, those types of things your body will build tolerances to. And over time, you will have to dial it up or wean off of it, et cetera. But when it comes to meal intake, meal plans, like Courtney's saying, you won't have to worry about your body struggling to absorb chicken because you ate it 3 times a day for 8 months. I eat eggs every single morning and my body absorbs them every single morning.
Oh, okay, cool. That's great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to eat the same thing every day though, Cordell. That sounds kind of miserable, man.
Well, it's fine. I mean, the tuna and the eggs every day is fine. Do what you gotta do.
Mix in some chicken, man, and some salmon too. All right, guys, next question. Let's go ahead and go with Cody Banks.
Yeah. So on the gas station thing, have you ever heard of Body Armor?
Yeah. I mean, they're okay. What's your question about Body Armor? Our guest tomorrow night, Frank Turek, is in love with Body Armor. What's your question about it?
Just, you know, when it was, we were talking about those quick on the go, like, yeah. I was saying, is that okay?
Courtney, to my understanding, there's not a whole lot of macros being proteins, carbs, and fats in Body Armor, right? This is just a kind of a nutrient drink.
I thought that they had a new one at Costco that was like an isolate, as far as like a protein isolate drink. Maybe I'm thinking of a different brand. If it's just coconut water, it has that's electrolytes, things like that. I have no issues with that. It's just a good electrolyte source, as long as, like Jason's saying, it's not filled with a bunch of sugar.
Okay. No, it's actually pretty low on sugar. I have a pretty big bottle here and it only has 2 grams of sugar.
Okay. And does it have protein in it, or is that just a regular one?
Yeah, 0 grams of protein, just a lot of potassium and a lot of vitamins.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if it's derived from coconut water, coconut water has a lot of electrolytes. A lot of supplement companies are actually starting to incorporate coconut water as an electrolyte source into their supplements. So I have no issues with coconut water.
Okay. And I'm not one of those guys, this I think mainly for Jason. I'm not one of those guys to take supplements. Not that I knock it, I just never felt the need to or never looked into it, but I don't take supplements or like pre-workout or any of that. Is that something that we should be doing going in?
No, Cody, if you don't need supplements, supplements are designed to take your body and get it to the next level when you've already maxed it out. I did not need to take supplements before I went into the PJ pipeline. Now, that may not be the case with everybody else. I had some gifts when it came to genetic athletics going into the pipeline. So I didn't have to push myself nearly as hard when it came to strength training as I did when I was trying to walk on the U of A football team, for example, and put on 20 pounds of lean muscle while getting faster at the same time in a small window of opportunity. So it depends on what exactly you're training for, man. For me, I would say stay away from supplements. To me, amino acids isn't necessarily a supplement, but when you do extract something in a lab and you isolate it and you sell it by itself, that is technically a supplement. So I wouldn't necessarily look at something like BCAAs and protein and categorize them in the same category as creatine or pre-workout or nitric oxide or something like that. So again, Cody, I'm not saying no to all supplements because that's such a broad category, but things that increase the heart rate or mess around with your vasodilation or vasoconstriction, I definitely would stay away from those. And I got the ingredients pulled up here for Body Armor. It says filtered water, pure cane sugar, coconut water concentrate, citric acid, maltodextrin, pure carrot juice concentrate, dipotassium phosphate, which is just electrolytes, green tea, and natural flavors. So, I mean, this is more of like an electrolyte drink, more of like a hydration type of drink than anything.
Perfect.
Okay, guys, next question. Let's go ahead and go with Alex.
Yeah, hey, guys, how you doing? Sorry, I just got a little excited to ask my question.
What's up, Alex?
So I know you guys briefly just touched on this, but as far as like protein sources go, like I'm pretty heavy into like the ground beef, ground bison type thing. But I was kind of wondering if like mixing in the chicken every now and then, or should it just be like a nice balance between like the red meats and then chicken between my diet?
Yeah, a good balance is my opinion, because there are a lot of benefits to red meats. Red meats actually do have higher creatine content naturally, which again, a lot of people supplement with creatine, where if you can get it naturally from red meat, it's a good source. But at the same time, you have fish that has a lot of your omegas in it, that I would recommend getting a healthy amount of that in. And then also chicken is leaner. So if you're trying to cut and lose weight, you might want to switch over to leaner protein sources, where you're not getting all of your calories in beefs that are higher fat, or even like salmons that are higher fat. So I'm a big believer in a good balance. And red meats, there's nothing wrong with them. I wouldn't overdo it because of the cholesterol aspect of them. But the creatine is a great source of creatine as well.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, next question. Let's go ahead and go with Mac.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mac?
My question is, do y'all believe in overtraining, or is it more of under recovering?
It's a balance. Unless you have a lot of time to recover, as far as like foam rolling and like adequate amounts of sleep, it's much easier to overtrain than it is to recover properly. Does that make sense? So it's really easy to overtrain, and it's really hard to fit in extra recovery time. Is overtraining is way more detrimental and way easier to achieve.
Yeah, and I wouldn't really say an or thing, Mac, because they're both different. So overtraining is something that you do in the moment, right? You do too many sets, too many repetitions, you do too much weight than your body can handle. So the level of training actually dictates the requirement of recovery. Mm-hmm. So if you're overtraining, you're going to need more recovery time, right? So I would argue that overtraining and lack of recovery time typically are coupling together. All right. They're probably more of a package deal. So just be wary of both. Recovery is everything, right? But we only have such a small amount of time in a day. And that's why it's so important to have a great game plan and have great nutrition.
Exactly.
That definitely cleared things up for me.
Okay, sounds good. Why don't you give us a little example of something you're dealing with right now?
Okay. I guess I'll just kind of go through what I'll be doing tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll be swimming. I'll be doing a lot of running in the morning. I'll be swimming later on in the day.
What's your swimming and your running looking like? What's your distances, intervals, etc.?
So for running in the morning, I have to run 3 miles, 1 mile. Well, the first mile is going to be at 8:30 minute mile pace. Second mile is at 8 minute mile, and the third mile is at 7:30. For the swim later on that evening, it's a 200 meter warm up, and then a freestyle of 4x100s, and then 2 20-minute underwaters. And like in between those cardio sessions,
20 minute underwaters.
sorry, 20 meter underwater.
All right. Be doing 25, be doing 25s if you can. I mean, if you can do 20, you should be able to do 25. 20 is not really a distance of any significance in the pipeline. So make sure you're doing 25 with the lifeguard present.
Okay. And then in between those two cardio sessions, I will be doing deadlifts, kettlebell, some kettlebell stuff, planking, and CrossFit as well, whatever the CrossFit workout for the day is for tomorrow. So
no issue with the swimming and the running there, assuming the running is done on soft ground or an all-purpose track, okay? So many people are lazy about running on concrete because it's so convenient, and it's a big problem, all right? It's very convenient. I get it. But make sure that you seek out good tracks. And there's an app out there called All Trails. I don't want to get too off topic because it's nutrition topic. There's an app out there called All Trails, and you can find great trails. The only suspicious thing that I heard there is that you're doing deadlifting, and then you're also, in addition to that, doing a CrossFit type of workout. In my opinion, CrossFit workouts have never been good for recovery. Be wary of the deadlifting. All right. And the only deadlifting, in my opinion, that you should be doing is hex bar deadlifting. On the U of A football team, we did not deadlift at all. All right. We power clean, hang cleaned. We did some snatches. We did shoulder complexes, but we just didn't deadlift. It's not nearly as practical as people think it is. Hex bar deadlifting, absolutely practical.
Definitely will do.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for coming on. Huge thank you to Miss Courtney Reeves for sacrificing her time tonight and coming on and helping the next generation of warfighters. It means a lot to us, Courtney.
Yeah, you guys had great questions, and I'm super happy to help. And Jason, can you give you guys my contact information later? I'm happy to help you guys out.
Thanks, Courtney. And for those of you guys that are interested, Courtney and I do have a customized meal plan. You can find that on the SOCOM Athlete website. You can also find Courtney on Instagram. I think it's Courtney IFBB.
It is. Yes.
All right. It's at Courtney IFBB. This is our second podcast episode. If you want to get a little bit more knowledge from Courtney, we had her on, I want to say, earlier last year. So make sure you hit that episode as well. Guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a little moment to hop over and give us a 5-star review. If you have an iPhone over on Apple Podcasts, it helps us out significantly. Thanks again for coming on. I admire you guys' commitment to being the best special operations candidates possible. And for those of you guys that are going up to the Chicago Hell Day this weekend, can't wait to get up there and crush it with you. God bless. Have a great rest of your night. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night with Dr. Frank Turek.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney and Jason.
Thanks for listening to another episode of SOCOM Athletes Podcast. Send me this time with SOCOM Athletes nutritionist / dietitian, Miss Courtney Reeves. If you'd like to go deeper into our meal plans or our mentorships, hop on the SOCOM Athlete website, navigate over to the programs page, and look up the Soft Nutrition Meal Mentorship Program. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star review over at Apple Podcasts if you have an iPhone. We also have a Patreon fund if you're interested in donating and giving back to the SOCOM Athlete Program. 100% of proceeds go to offering Hell Day scholarships for our students that are financially unable to attend. Thanks again for listening. Don't miss our next episode. And until next time, we are out.
Thank you.
Up.
Down.
Move.